I don't understand what the problem is here.
With Carmichael Dave, Katie Christensen, and Nate Goodyear.
New morning, team.
Put the top down. Rev your engine.
Say, what goes on this morning?
Welcome to The Drive.
I don't know if I want to say, wow, I really respect that about you, or if I want to say, gosh, that is so stupid.
Come on, man. Wake the up. The Drive.
His mouth.
Here we go with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
That keg is almost tapped.
Yeah.
And they're going to get every last drop out of it.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light, with great beer comes great responsibility. Now the drive continues with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
The NFL draft is coming up tonight. To celebrate that, we've been doing this all week. You'll have your final opportunity to pick who the Oakland Raiders are going to draft with their first-round pick this evening. We got three picks yesterday. Those three picks are off the board, and we'll remind you of that in the 8 o'clock hour when they do this. Should you pick the correct player, you'll win a 50-inch Samsung HD TV, courtesy of the Home Theater Company. Hey, just in time for summer, in about 15 minutes, we're going to give you this hour's word and the 10K a day giveaway, your opportunity to win $1,000. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, part one of our DeMarcus Cousins interview, part two at 8 o'clock. Guys, real quick, before we get to Ken Catanella's resume, I'm into alternate memorabilia, if you will, you know, stuff that maybe isn't your everyday. I like the
hockey jerseys, the Darth Vader deal,
the
right?
The niche stuff, just goofy stuff. And I'm curious, if you had the opportunity to spend money on these, would you be interested in for your collection the NFL draft day draft cards that the commissioner reads to draft the player? Like, they have a copy here. I'm looking online. I think Revelle tweeted it out, Darren Revelle. Tom Brady, Andrew Luck, and Eli Manning. The actual card that the commissioner read when that player was drafted. That has no interest to you guys at all?
No.
Really?
Is the NFL really trying to profit on that?
No. They're not. I'm saying they're just showing pictures of them. I'm sure they probably have them in their Hall of Fame or whatever. I'm saying, but if those for some weird reason became available, I feel like if I was a rich guy, I'd be one of the guys bidding on that, put it in a frame.
There's a couple of guys I'd pay for that, actually.
I wouldn't mind having Tom Brady. I mean, I'm not a Tom Brady. You know, I'm not paying for
Montana or Rice.
Yeah,
though,
oh, I mean, God, are you kidding me?
The only thing I want, seriously, is Prince's roller skates.
That's the ones that fire sparks out. I would pay.
That's all I want.
Simple demands. I like it.
I'd pay for Kurt Schilling's bloody sock, if for no other reason to test the blood, just to see if it was really blood. But I wouldn't mind having that blood in there.
Schilling.
What else would it be? Ketchup?
Yes. Oh no. There's
could be paint.
There's,
I mean,
thoughts
theories
out there. I mean, there's conspiracy theories like we didn't land on the moon and that Kurt Schilling maybe rubbed a little red stuff in his sock between innings to go out and just kind of savor the moment. And now in retrospect,
make himself look cool.
And back in the day, I was like, come on,
guys. What was the injury he was dealing with?
It was a scar that opened up from, he had an Achilles or something. He was getting injections. And back in the day, I was one of those guys, like most people, I think, I was like, get out of here with that. Come on. But now you see Kurt Schilling, you're like, well, actually.
Maybe that's true. Yeah.
I'd pay for, if it was preserved properly, it's going to gross you out, Katie, but I would pay for Ronnie Lott's finger. You're damn right I would.
Why would that gross me out?
I figured you'd be like, you're going to put a dead finger?
Because I'm a girl.
No, because it's you.
No.
You get, no, you'd be fine with a dead finger.
Like, you should see the body part she's got lying
That's
around.
Good point.
Seriously, like, I have multiple things.
I have multiple bodies in my freezer.
You would be surprised at the things I have saved.
Dave.
I have.
Well, please, provide examples.
Okay, so I had like a palate thing to help with snoring, right? And it's like these things that they inject in the roof of your mouth. Well, last year, it started to come out. And I went in and had to have it surgically removed.
Yeah.
And I kept it. I said, hey, can I keep it? And they're like, okay. I have it in my kitchen.
You?
Yeah, it's in my kitchen. But I put it with my dishes.
Isn't there a difference though between being a collector and being a hoarder, though?
That's not.
You're kind of a hoarder.
You've seen my house. I am not a hoarder.
You got like toenail clippings in a mayo jar and stuff like that.
Jeez.
This is my first toenail clippings from the WNBA.
Oh my goodness.
Scored 17 points that night.
Would you pay for Mike Bibby's toenail clippings from the bench?
No.
I'd pay for his clippers.
I don't even like
clippers.
Clipping my own toenails.
I think Mike Bibby's clippers from the bench, that would be an interesting.
For the Clippers?
For the Clippers.
Yeah, I'd pay for the Clippers.
I'd absolutely pay for the Clippers.
How about, you'd have to confirm them in some way. I mean, it's not just.
Would you pay for the towel that Chris Webber threw over his head in Dallas when he was carted off the floor? when he was in tears.
I'd rather pay for any of Jerry Tarkanian's towels that he chewed
Ooh,
on.
Ooh, that's a good
towel
one.
Game.
Well, you know what? I could do this all day. All right, Ken, seriously, Ken Catinella. Here's some stuff on him. He joined the Pistons after several years at the NBA league office, where he directed the NBA salary cap and basketball analytics.
He's a plant.
Well, by the way, we're talking about this because he is set to be the newest member of the Kings front office, by the way, as assistant GM. In his role with the Pistons, Catinella served as the team's salary cap specialist. He led Detroit's analytics efforts. And he directed the day-to-day operations of the basketball ops department. Prior to that, he managed the analytics efforts of the New Jersey Nets, managed the creation and implementation of their statistical scouting system, and advised.
Are you reading straight off his resume? Because that was some corporate nonsense right there.
LinkedIn, baby.
LinkedIn, baby.
Let's see. As far as education, I think I said he was at MIT. I just say everyone's at MIT. He graduated Amherst College.
Yeah, I was going to say Duke's School of Business.
Yeah,
worked at Wall Street.
It's the MIT of
You know what? The reality of the situation is, you can tell by his resume that, you know, the one thing that the Kings really need in their front office, obviously, they got somebody that has a solid background and a very respected resume.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, they got a nerd. And I say that with all respect.
I was just going to say
that.
They
got a nerd. And that's awesome.
It's what they needed.
Not just a nerd, though, by the way. This is a nerd with some game, because he played pro for the Cologne 99ers in Germany. He also was the assistant general manager of the German Bundesliga team. And then Bundesliga.
Cologne? In Cologne?
It just says the German Bundesliga team. Oh, okay, yes.
It's got to be the same.
I mean, the 99ers isn't a joke. I mean, they're... you play pro anywhere. That means you know how to play basketball.
Yeah.
I mean,
it means you're not a hack.
Yeah, this isn't just, you know, this isn't...
I know there's soccer teams mid to low table every year, but that's okay.
Mid to low table.
It's not, we're not dealing with Dilbert, okay? This is Dilbert with a crossover, all right? Join Sports 11.
Is Dilbert a virgin? Is that...
I've never spent any time on it, but... 1-800-912-1140 1-800-912-1140 Join KHDK for Susan G. Komen Sacramento's 20th annual Race for the Cure Super Segway, Dave. May 7th, Cal Expo. Help us move one step closer to a world without breast cancer. Please register now until May 1st using the code RADIO. That's RADIO in all caps. Save $5. Visit Komen, K-O-M-E-N, Sacramento.org. Kevin McHale, by all reports, is the front runner for the position of Sacramento Kings head coach. Interviewed, as far as we know, I believe Mike Woodson was interviewed, Sam Mitchell, Vinny Del Negro, and reports yesterday out of Indiana that the Kings have asked permission after the playoffs, or at least after Indiana's playoffs, to interview Nate McMillan.
That shouldn't be long.
So, yeah.
I'm not real big on the Nate McMillan possibility.
Tell me why.
I don't know how real of a possibility it is.
Nate McMillan, in his go-around with the Blazers, was notoriously hard-headed and tactically inflexible. And I don't know that that's...
Well said.
Yeah,
inflexible.
Yeah, I don't know that... He might learn something. It's been a while since he was in Portland. But I know that that's kind of why he got run out, is because it was either Nate's way or the highway.
Well, they had some success under him,
Did, they did.
Yeah.
But I think he wore out his welcome in the locker room and didn't make a lot of adjustments.
Yeah. Nate McMillan, lifetime coaching record, spent years with Seattle and then Portland. So, hey, if he did come out to Sacramento, he's just moving down the West Coast, basically. Yeah. He'll be with the Lakers in 5 years. Nate McMillan, 478 and 452. That's 51.5% of his games. He won 14 and 20 in the playoffs. Won 52 games with Seattle in 2004-2005. 54 games with Portland in 08 and 09. His years with Portland, he won 21, 32, 41, 54, 50, 48, and then was fired at 20 and 23 in 2011-2012.
How did that go downhill so fast?
This is a guy that was known for his defense when he played. I don't know. I got to be honest, as opposed to lying all the time. I don't know why I said that. I wouldn't be mad at a McMillan hire. I mean, if we're just going through, I wouldn't be upset.
You're basing that on what?
I'm basing it on the fact that
he's had moderate success.
He's had moderate success.
I understand that. I'm wondering what he's basing it on.
He's had the time off now. He's been on the benches. I don't necessarily hate, you know, people use retread because everybody wants Brad Stevens. Everybody wants Steve Kerr. And so do I. But I don't think that automatically should cancel
hire
out
Tom Crean.
Anybody with experience. I mean,
right. No, for me, it's less about a retread thing because you're right. Like, I mean, Bill Belichick failed. We've been over that a dozen times, right? But he failed in Cleveland. With me, it's more about the way I just remember the stories coming out of Portland that Nate McMillan is not a player's coach, mm-hmm. And is very rigid with his strategy. Isn't particularly flexible or creative. Yeah, exactly. Right up to the elbow.
We will.
But maybe that's changed.
We will get your next word in about 7 minutes in the 10K a day giveaway. And then as far as the head coaches, if you're looking at that list, just out of curiosity, let's just take the four guys interviewed and the one yet to be interviewed, Mikhail Woodson, Mitchell, Vinny Del Negro, and Nate McMillan. Let's pretend that is your coaching pool that you're picking from. It's those five guys. Who's your front runner? Who's your favorite? 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. DeMarcus Cousins, part one, coming up in 15 minutes. It's The Drive on Sports 1140 KHTK. Watch the NFL draft with the good friends at KHDK today, beginning at 5, Republic Bar and Grill, 15th Street, up there in downtown Sacramento. You'll have a chance to win tons of prizes, including tickets to see Brantley Gilbert. More info at KHDK.com. You can text us at 44-1140. You can call us at 339-1140. Dave, Katie, and Nate, The Drive, DeMarcus Cousins, coming up part one in 10 minutes. But right now, your word of the hour.
Ready for it.
10K day giveaway. The sun rises in the east and sets in the
west.
Yeah, I mean,
north,
just,
south.
Honestly, that would have been so awesome if you'd have said that, though. West. West is your word of the hour. Text West to 80787 or enter online at khdk.com. By the end of this hour, message and data rates may apply, and we'll text you back to confirm your entry. One randomly selected nationwide entrant will win $1,000. All entries will also qualify for a $25,000 grand prize.
You know, one of the things I love about the tweeter machine is like the crazy things that'll pop up. USA Today just tweeted out a story that it's John Daly's 50th birthday today, and apparently he's going to get a really big gift. What is it? Is it Fuzzy Zoller?
Fuzzy Zeller.
Zeller, okay. He bet him $150,000 that he wouldn't live to 50.
Hey. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And it's like, it's a picture of John Daly on a golf course with a cigarette in his mouth.
Fuzzy's like a world-class troll, right? Before trolling was cool.
Okay.
I mean, between the Tiger thing and he must have made this bet, like, what, 15, 20 years ago?
Yes. Here's the thing. And here's why Fuzzy Zeller is a straight gangster. Because how does he collect? Like, think about that. Fuzzy's going to have to pay off John Daly, let's say, and give him the 150 grand?
150K, yeah.
But let's say John Daly died of a massive heart attack at 46. Does Fuzzy get a roll up to Mama Daly, to Mrs. Daly? Be like, hey, listen, I'm so sorry for your loss.
You know what?
But I'm going to need a check.
Maybe part of the bet was showing him proof that his will said that he'll receive $150,000.
Or maybe putting the money in escrow. Like, you find an escrow to put it in. Because that's an uncomfortable collect. Like, it's much easier for John Daly to go, pay me my money.
Right.
But Fuzzy, I feel like Fuzzy'd do it, too.
Who could you go to with John? Like, at the end of his line, I don't know, it's probably about the end of the line, right? He's got wife, kids, none of that stuff.
I don't know. John Daly, little known fact, Carmichael native.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. John Daly, Carmichael, California native. How about that? So good for you, Fuzzy. Fuzzy's never had an issue doing whatever he wants and saying whatever
he wants. Neither is John Daly, for that matter. Needs more John Daly's.
From the text line, I think Elston Turner should be on the list. He's got a history with us as an assistant. He's got a history of Vlade. He's got years of experience as an assistant as well. Look at Steve Clifford, went years as an assistant before finally getting a chance with the Hornets. That worked out well for him. I seriously believe Elston deserves a chance to be a head coach. And you know what? We can add him on that list because he is reportedly going to get an interview with the team.
Well, in all fairness, I know Elston, love him to death, great guy. But by that logic, he should be on everybody's list because he's been an assistant for just about everybody in the league at this point.
Yeah. Little known fact about Elston Turner, not even the best person in his house.
Whoa.
His wife, Louise, is one of the coolest
star,
freaking
right?
people ever. Yeah, she used to work at our sister station, KNCI, so we'd see her all the time. You know, talk about, like, honestly, like, the Jason Ross school of people that are impossible to not just love.
Yeah, like, if you don't like them, something is obviously wrong with you.
Same with Elston's wife. I would have no problems with that. From the 916, I'd take Vinny because he's a king at heart, has a winning record, played for Popovich, knows what team basketball looks like and what it takes to win. Craig in Sacramento.
That's actually a good question, though, Nate.
Nate, hold on.
How far does the playing or coaching for Pop get you? That gets you so much real estate in the NBA these days.
I want to jump Pop on Nate, though. Dave knows where I'm going.
And here's the thing. You and I can hold hands, and we can sing together. Because
you guys hold hands all the time.
As cynical as I always call you, I am with you 100% on the following. I don't care about King at heart. Yeah. I don't care. I really don't. No. Like, it's neat.
I'd rather go the opposite direction.
It's a cool
I mean, really.
Part of the story, I guess. No.
If you're going to do something new, let's do something
right.
new.
Right. I don't. If you have an affinity for Sacramento, that's a bonus. That's neat. It's fine on the bio.
But that should not, be a determining factor.
I get why people are saying that.
The reality is, if he gets hired, that will be the top line on his bio. Like when they released, you know, it totally would. I actually read Scotty Brooks yesterday for Washington on their site, their little, you know, announcing him as the coach and his whole bio. And yeah, that's exactly what you do. You highlight that.
From the 916, finally, from the text line, would be very happy with Kevin McHale or Vinny Del Negro. McHale should have been coach of the year last year, which is even more obvious in watching the Rockets this year. Del Negro was good with the Bulls and very good with the Clippers. Let's spotlight Vinny Del Negro as a head coach. 2 years with Chicago, 2008 through 2010. He was 41-41 both years. Then he moved on to the Clippers in 2010, where he went 32-50, 40-26, 56-26, and was fired for Doc Rivers. His last year, he was 56-26. Now, granted, that's very similar to what Coach Carl's last year was with the Denver Nuggets, but I think we're dealing with two different things, obviously, age-wise and everything else. That's not a proper comparison.
I mean, it's also very similar to what Kevin McHale did in Houston. Although he wasn't fired at the end of the season, they fired him, 11 games in?
Yeah. It was 11. So help me out with this, guys. Tell me if I'm completely crazy here. But wait for me to finish.
I'll hear you out.
Before you confirm that. Vinny Del Negro, a lot of the apprehension with him, it's because of his appearance, right? Like, Vinny Del Negro does not appear as a physically imposing, intimidating type of, I don't know. Vinny kind of comes
Van Gundy? Jeff Van Gundy?
Yeah, I mean, I think so more than Vinny Del Negro.
I think their mouth is the biggest intimidation guys.
I'm not saying this is the right, because Caron Butler is very high on Vinny Del Negro. Everyone that knows Vinny Del Negro is high on him. I can't help but feel like because Vinny looks like a softy, he gets a bad reputation.
I'll go with you on this. You lost me for a second. I'll go with you on this. I think it's not necessarily his appearance, although that's part of it. But if you're saying maybe some of the knock of Vinny is you look at him and you listen to him, and it's hard to imagine a guy that's going to get in someone's ass.
Yes.
You know what? I'll say this. When I first saw Dave, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to like this person. Look at him. So
I'm unlikable from the look. Dear Lord.
That's bad.
So I learned because of Dave that I will not judge anybody else.
His record is good.
Right.
His players like him.
Right.
The people that have managed him like him. I mean,
Would
I know
DeMarcus
Grant
Cousins
loves him.
Like him.
Yeah. I mean, does he have the red ass required? Dave kind of brought that around full circle there.
Well, you know, we'll find out a little bit about that next. That's a good segue, because coming up at 7:30, right when we get back, DeMarcus Cousins, part one. This is a four-part interview, part one at 7:30, part two at 8 o'clock today. We'll do the same thing tomorrow as well. Don't forget, we're also taking you up till 9:30 as well because of A's baseball, so a little bit of an extended the drive today. When we get back, DeMarcus Cousins right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.
Wow.
All right. The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. Dave, Katie, and Nate. Going to 9:30 today because of A's baseball. So a little extended program for you. And that's fine because this next hour is going to be filled with interview. So here we go. This is part one of the sit-down I had with DeMarcus Cousins. Just a little a background here. So I first approached DeMarcus in July at Vegas Summer League when he was down there. And we first started talking about this idea and carried it through the season. Originally, we were hoping to do this before the season, then at some point during the season, and then obviously it worked out to do after the season. I didn't want to do a live interview on the radio. I wasn't really interested in doing, I wanted to do something that was a little bit different, just a sit down, conversation. And you're going to notice during this interview, it's a little bit, I think the tone and the tempo is a little bit different than your radio interviews you're used to. There's no broadcast voices. There's not a lot of boop, 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 boop. There's going to be long pauses because literally it was a Sunday afternoon at his house in his living room with a playoff game on, a couple of headsets, just talking. And that's kind of the tempo. It's not a 60 minutes interview. I had a bunch of questions prepped and I asked him. This was more of a vehicle just for him to talk, not so much a vehicle for me to dig deep on him.
Well, and he's so incredibly reclusive when it comes to dealing with the media. Like, we talk to him generally on my side on walk-off interviews. But I think the interesting thing that we're going to find out about this, and I haven't heard it yet, people have very set opinions on him. They either like him or they hate him. And I think this is an opportunity for them to either change their opinion or to reinforce it.
And I think that's exactly, I want to lay seeds into people's thoughts before they hear it. But I think that's very fair. I think people that love him are going to come out of this thing and go, wow, I really love him. People that hate him are going to go, ha-ha, see? And then there's
see?
And then there's a lot of the people in the middle that you know. Here's the bottom line. This wasn't done to either pump up or pump down DeMarcus Cousins. This was done because you see him on the floor. You see him post-game. That's when you generally hear from him. And other than that, you don't really hear from him a lot. The idea was just, hey, dude, I'm going to ask you a bunch of stuff, and you answer whatever the hell you want, how you want to answer it, and hopefully it's
unedited.
Yeah, just
DeMarcus uncut.
Unedited is a little bit of a misnomer. It's unedited as far as content goes. There's a couple of swears that we obviously had
you
to
have
edit.
To bleep out.
One of his, one of mine, I think. So enjoy part one, DeMarcus Cousins from this last Sunday on KHDK.
Hi, we're here with DeMarcus Cousins watching little NBA playoffs on a Sunday. What you been doing this offseason?
Nothing much. Getting off my feet, trying to get healthy. I did my first round of shockwave treatment in L.A. And it was successful. My feet are feeling better, already. And I think I got 3 more sessions of it. And, I'll be ready to go. So just relaxing.
How long was that messing with you, the feet?
Entire season.
Yeah.
It gradually happened. Each season it's gotten worse. So, this season was just to the point where sometimes, I just couldn't even, after games, I couldn't even move.
Really?
Through this whole season, only way I could play was on pain medicine. So, every game I'm doped up to play.
See, I don't know how the NBA works, but I noticed the injury reports all the time would Rajon would have some I don't even know how to pronounce it in the shoulder a turf toe or whatever, and you weren't really on the injury report that much. How did that work? Because it seems like you were injured off and on.
I mean, me and Pete, we kind of had our agreement. We kind of knew the situation. We knew what it was, and I already had a plan. Going into the off season.
Sure.
So I knew I was gonna play through it, throughout the season, and so it was never a situation where I'd be like, Pete, I'm missing the game because of my feet, So that was never the case.
27-11 though on a hurt foot. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's you got me thinking, like, if that and your foot hasn't been 100% in a couple of years, huh?
Nah, it hasn't. So I'm looking forward to having, you know, a healthy season.
What do you try to do in the off season, you know, just to, how long do you really unplug for?
It's hard for me. Bad thing is I shouldn't even be saying this, but you know, I got my treatment and you know, I was supposed to completely shut down.
Right.
I went to play ball today. So it's hard for me. I mean, I love the sport. I love to play the game. And I mean, I always just get that itch. And if I just sit around too long, I just get a bad vibe. I get a bad feeling over my body. I start feeling bummy.
So right.
I can never sit out too long. So, but that's something that's been stressing me a lot, where I just, you know, I need to relax. I need to sit down and just let my body heal.
Well, that's a thought. I mean, you got, hopefully, knock on wood, the Olympics coming up in a few months, and then you got mm-hmm. the season. So at some point, you might need to get tied to a chair or something.
Yeah, something like that. But I think I'm taking, you know, the right steps right now to get healthy. And as of right now, that's the most important thing for me.
Is there anything you do, I mean, just get away? I know you travel sometimes in the off season. I was wondering a while back. I know sometimes athletes have things in their contract that they can't do that they want. I mean, mm-hmm. you get to still have some fun. Is there some stuff you'd like to do that you can't?
Man, honestly, I'm the most, like, chill, boring guy ever.
Really?
Like, the most peaceful and relaxing day and most fun day for me, I sit up in here and watch movies all day. Like, that's a fun day for me, just to be able to relax and
right.
just enjoy myself and not be DeMarcus Cousins. I can just sit in my house and be DeMarcus,
right.
you know? So that's a good day for me. But really, my way of getting away is probably going back home.
Cause, sure.
I mean, those people know me. I can go home and be myself. I don't have to be a celebrity or whatever I'm perceived as. I can just go home and be myself, and I'll be accepted.
What's the best movie you've seen in the last year?
Best movie?
Well, at least one that jumped out. I mean, I know that's hard because you probably see a lot of movies, but.
Did.
You see the new Deadpool? Everyone's talking about Deadpool.
Like it.
You didn't like it?
I did not like it.
You're the one. I haven't seen it yet, but everybody's telling me to see Deadpool.
I did not.
No?
Like it. No.
Okay.
Batman versus Superman was all right.
Was it good?
It was all right.
Because I don't understand how Batman would have a chance against Superman.
I don't either.
So I don't understand the premise of the movie at all.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was all right. I don't know. Boys in Hood was good, but I don't know. I think I've been caught up in a lot of shows lately, like
really?
Series.
Really?
Yeah, I was probably saying my most favorite series right now is How to Get Away with Murder.
What's that on?
It's on it's on ABC, I believe. Yeah.
Really?
It's the dopest show ever.
I think I read, like, Game of Thrones starts tonight too. Are you into that?
I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Me neither. Everybody, you seriously?
I see a lot of people talking about it, but I never watch it.
We're the only two people in the world that don't watch it. Here's the thing: I tried to watch like 6 episodes of it, and they killed off like one of the main characters, and I was done with it. I don't like watching stuff that makes me sad. There's like no point.
Yeah, but. You know? You have to check out How to Get Away with
Murder. How to Get Away with Murder?
Yeah.
My wife got me watching Castle right now, which I'm admitting openly and freely that I watch Castle on ABC, which is kind of...
I never heard of that either.
No, it's a mystery. Like, you know, the murder happens. It's a cop. It's a dude. They go out. They solve crimes and stuff. How to Get Away with Murder, is that like a reality thing, or is that a show?
No, it's
like,
not a reality
thing. Okay.
It's a series, but it's keeps your mind twisted.
Right.
And it's always some type of new turn in the show. So.
What's your favorite movie ever?
Favorite movie
is that
ever.
Even tougher?
Man.
Yeah.
Paid in Full.
Okay.
Boys in the Hood.
Okay. See that NWA movie that came out?
NWA was dope.
Yeah.
That's what I meant earlier.
Straight out of Compton.
I said Boys in the
That's
Hood.
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
Boys in the Hood is old school with Larry Fishburne.
Yeah.
Which was a great movie, by the way.
Shot Us. A lot of people don't know about that.
I don't know about that.
Shot Us is dope.
Really?
Yeah. I actually like The Notebook, too.
Hey, listen, I can't hate on that. I think probably somebody will, but I can't hate on that.
The Notebook was a dope movie.
I haven't seen it, but I know it was I mean, that was pretty deep, right?
Yeah,
it was sad.
Yeah, but it was a good movie.
That's what, Rachel McAdams and what's his face?
I don't even know the character name, but
yeah. Okay, all right, okay. I remember asking you earlier this year what your favorite Disney movie was, and everyone said Lion King.
Yeah.
Because Simba.
Yeah.
You said Aladdin because Jasmine was a dime, I think was the question.
So bad.
When do you find out if you make the team?
June.
Okay.
Sometime in late June, something like that.
Because you've been working towards this for a long time now. Mm-hmm. Like, how you get the phone call, let's hope, and you're on the team. I mean, what's that going to mean to you?
Super excited. I mean, this is, you know, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Everybody can't say, you know, they got to play for Team USA.
Sure.
So for me to be able to do that, that would be a huge accomplishment. So that's definitely something I want to, you know, at the end of my career, I want to be able to say I did that. So
it's been a few years, though. I mean, it's a commitment.
It is.
You can't just go and do it.
It is. It's a serious commitment.
How would you assess the season?
Oh, man. Rough.
Yeah.
Rough. Extremely disappointing. I'm at the point now, man, where winning is my only goal.
Sure.
You know, I'm tired of the BS. I'm tired of the politics behind. I'm tired of the stuff out of our control. I just want to go out there and play basketball. Right. Like, at the end of the day, let's just go play basketball. Everybody across the bench on the same page.
Does it amaze you how, you know, you grew up playing basketball, how the tiniest little perceived things these days, once you hit the NBA, the media, everything gets just blown up?
It is. But it depends. It depends how they want the storyline to go. I mean, it could be a negative thing and it can go in a positive way.
Sure.
Or vice versa. So it just depends. But I mean, coming up playing basketball, you don't learn those things. You can't, it's no way to really get prepared for that, you know? So, I mean, you coming up and you think it's just about going out there playing basketball.
Sure.
But playing basketball is probably 1% of it.
Well, there's a lot. I mean, you're in a microscope.
Yeah, it's tough. It's very tough.
We're watching playoffs right now, and I know you're going to cringe when I ask you this, but did you know, 6 years in the league, I mean, how you see Isaiah Thomas playing with Boston? We were just talking about Detroit before we started talking. It's got to eat at you to be watching this instead of sweating.
It does, man. It's the worst feeling ever. Every season, you know, ending early, it's a terrible feeling. I mean, You bust your ass to, you know, become this type of player, and you just, well, for me, I can't speak for the next person. I constantly kill myself. How can I improve? How can I get better? What can I add to my game? What can I take away from my game? Like, what's it going to take to, you know, get to that next step and, like, just continue to, where you just continue to fail? It's a terrible feeling, but at the same time, it makes you want it that much more.
Sure.
So it's the worst feeling ever, honestly.
I wonder if players ever think like fans. Like, you know, I talk to a lot of fans constantly because I am one, and I look at the internet boards and all that. Right now, the big subject is that Isaiah goes for 42 the other day, and we basically traded him for a ham sandwich. You know? And I mean, that's somebody you played alongside with. Yeah. Are you allowed to think that way in your head as a fan? I mean, do you get frustrated at stuff like that?
That's the part where I was talking about earlier, where the stuff that you can't control happens. Like, how can I have some type of effect? Like, what can I do to stop that or prevent that from happening? Or know that's going to happen the next year? Or,
sure.
Like, how can I control that? And that's the part that eats at me.
Do you ever wonder, and again, this is something you couldn't, so this might be the same answer. You know, do you ever allow yourself to wonder what things would have been like if Coach Malone was still here? Can you even let yourself go down and wander down that road?
I don't know exactly how it would have been.
Yeah?
We would have been a playoff team.
Yeah.
Playoff team. The thing about that is it was one goal in mind at the end of the day, winning games. And the way that team was structured, the way we were, the way the foundation was set for that team, that collective group, I believe it was done the right way. I mean, of course it didn't show on paper, but we were taking the right steps. Everything, it's never going to happen overnight, you know.
Right.
So, but I believe we were making the right steps and we were in the right direction and crumbled.
I want people to understand a little bit more about, you know, it's not rocket science necessarily with you and coaches, though most probably think it is, and with Coach Malone. And I could be wrong here, but I heard a story once that you and he didn't always, it wasn't always hearts and flowers. That
absolutely not.
I think he said to you one day, it was talking about whether or not you were a Max guy, and you said something like, you know, I had to Google you to figure out who the heck you were, or something like that. You guys went at it.
Yeah.
Point being, you guys could go at it, but there was something there that came out of that with a respect level for you.
And that's what I've been quoted saying this before. We don't have to like each other.
Yeah.
We don't have to love each other. We don't have to be best friends. Let's get the job done. That's all that matters. We can figure out the rest of that later.
Sure.
Let's get the job done. Let's win these games. That's all that matters. That's it.
When you go into this offseason talking about respect from coaches, Coach Carl made that comment, anyone's tradable. And some people took that as face value. 29-win team, anybody's tradable. But they weren't on the inside. Why did that bother you so much?
Just that, what you said, they aren't on the inside.
And sure.
It's a lot of things that have been done that haven't been reported. It's a lot of things that were, you know, they were attempted behind closed doors.
Sure.
It hasn't been reported. And I have a group of guys that have worked very closely with another group of guys.
Sure.
We know what's going on behind closed doors.
Sure. Sure.
That's the part that really irritated me. Coming in, it was so much from a guy that wasn't even here yet.
Right.
It was just chaos from a guy I never met, never spoke to, anything. It was chaos. Ty Corbin was my coach,
right.
But it was chaos with a whole nother guy.
Right.
So,
it's frustrating.
That's the best way. It's very frustrating.
I understand.
Frustrating. That's like I'm a straight shooter. Like I don't beat around the bush. I don't tell people when they want to hear. I'm very honest. I'm very blunt. I expect the same from me. Like feel a certain type of way. Tell me.
So I mean, it seems like you'd rather if you're dealing with let's say a coach, you'd be more comfortable and more likely to respect that person if he stopped you and said, go f*** yourself, you're wrong, then somebody who says one thing, interprets one thing, and then you start hearing.
Exactly.
You don't have a problem being confronted and being called out as long as it's direct.
Not at all. Please do that. Let me know what you need from me. But don't sit there and, you know, act like it's all peaches and then go somewhere else and,
sure.
You know, stab me in the back, so.
You very, and we'll talk about your teammates here because you've always been very big on loyalty. And I know how frustrating was it looking at Willie and looking at Seth throughout the season, knowing what they could do in practice and seeing that playing time jerked around a little bit?
It was extremely tough. My heart goes out to my teammates anyway because I know how much each and every guy works. So, if you're a hard worker, I'm going to appreciate you anyway. Those two guys were extremely hard workers, and I don't think they got, you know, the credit they deserve. No matter what the situation was, they came in, was a professional, you know, did what they had to do, whatever. Some games where getting blown out by 20.
Right.
Still no love.
Fans were wondering the same thing.
We're up by 20.
Right.
Still no love. Some situation where myself or any other forward in the starting group, we're not playing with. We need some type of energy. Give us a new look. Give us a guy that's hungry and ready to play. Still no love. So it's you can't do anything but just, you know, be frustrated for him, you know. So
were you, if there's a positive out of that, for example, were you, seemed like you were very proud of Willie, for example, when he finally, it seemed like he kind of cracked at one point when, and someone in the media, I forget who it was, asked him about it. Maybe it was his conditioning or why he didn't play, or did he understand? And he's a rookie, and he came out and said, I don't understand. Go ask coach. I have no idea. I'm better than this. You know, and you kind of saw your rookie stand up, and feels like that'll pay dividends down the road.
I think he handled it in the best situation. Well, in the best way.
Sure.
Like I said, it's unfortunate he's a rookie. So, you know, being a rookie and in those shoes, you know, you're limited on what
right.
you can say or expressing yourself. Just keep working. I mean, he knew the guys in the locker room had his back. We knew what he was capable of. We went to bat for him. I know I sat down. Me, myself, and Rajon, we sat down with coach. Like, we need Willie on the floor.
Sure. Right.
Yeah.
And well, with Seth, you let everybody know very clearly where you stood with him. And, I mean, that wasn't even subtle. That wasn't even close to subtle. You were letting it be known, hey, this kid's going to be around a while.
Yeah, man. it's not even about that. Like, I mean, everybody knows he can play.
Sure.
I don't think anybody deserves that. Because if it was the situation turned around and one of the players came out and said that about
sure.
a coach, yeah. he would be the worst player. He'd be the worst person ever.
It was insulting. I mean,
it's
really
very
was.
Insulting.
Yeah.
Especially for a guy that works the way he does.
I know you read a lot, and I'm sure you know, everyone tries to psychoanalyze you. You've seen the articles about, oh, DeMarcus is a bad teammate, DeMarcus this, DeMarcus. I know, I mean, I've heard, you know, you have half the team over here. You know, we hang out, have a game night. Do you think you're a good teammate? I mean, I know it's a tough question to ask, but like, some of that's overblown.
I don't know where it comes from.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I don't really understand that.
Comes from sources. Sort them. Those people that you never hear go on record.
You know, I actually do know who it's coming from.
Right.
Actually, I know the two people
all
it's
right.
coming from. But actually, three people it's coming from. But
in reality, again, we had Caron Butler on the show last week.
Yeah.
I asked Caron Butler straight up on the air. I said, is DeMarcus a good teammate? And I said, and do you have issues? And does it ever get frustrating with his anger on the floor? He said, and I'm messing up the quote here, but it was, I admire his passion for the game. I love playing with him. I love going to war with him. I love him as a teammate. You hear something like that from a vet, I mean, that's what's up.
But that's as clear of a source as you need right there.
Sure.
But sad part, people aren't going to listen to that source. They're going to listen to that negative source or those three negative sources. So it is what it is.
All right, we'll take a break. That's part one, DeMarcus Cousins. Part two coming up next. Of course, if you missed part one, it will be posted online as well. Part two later on this afternoon at khdk.com. We'll come back, a little bit of reaction, then we'll get into the second part of DeMarcus's interview. Parts three and four tomorrow, of course, right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.